Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers on a Monday afternoon, the Monday following the Super Bowl, which, in my opinion, folks, this should be a national holiday. The Monday following the Super Bowl, just make that President's Day. Just whenever, just line those up together so that everybody's celebrating this year in Kansas City or wherever those Kansas City fans are around the country are celebrating. Can enjoy it, and we can line it up. But in that absence, we're not on a national holiday. We're going through a regular Monday workday, and the big guy is off lifting heavy and important things at very important locations. But in his absence on this Monday, I am joined by Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show. Todd, how you doing on this Monday afternoon?
Absolutely fan-dang-tastic, Luke.
And you're signing up yourself for a little overtime. We didn't get overtime last night in the big game, but overtime for you here on the airwaves because you've already done your duty, filling in for, well, you did your 3 hours, and now you're filling in for Brian, and I really appreciate that.
It's not a work. It's an action of joy. It's not overtime. It's like fun time.
It is. It is a lot of fun. You and I, we grabbed a beer after a long work week on Friday night, and we didn't have any radio breaks then to cut us off. And then I realized how late it got, and I was like, oh, I gotta head home. I gotta go let the dog out. So really glad that you signed up for some more torture here to have conversations with me, a couple tangents, kick around some Wisconsin headlines, national headlines too. Mm-hmm. I want to thank Evan on the production board. Always appreciate your fine work, E. Hope you had an excellent weekend. But the big game yesterday.
Yeah.
I know you watched. We had a little friendly wager on Friday.
I'm glad you remembered.
Honestly, it was like kind of later in the conversation, and I was supporting the Eagles. I threw in a couple. There were some restaurants in the Milwaukee area that were saying, hey, you'll win like a free gift card to our restaurant.
Yeah.
And I will, if you guess the final score correctly, first one to put in their guess for the final score. So I did a couple of those online. I was really hoping. And it was pretty close. I had 27-24 for a little while there. And the game was playing out that way. The Eagles were who I had picked. And they had 27. The Chiefs had 21. I was hoping that the Chiefs were going to get stopped for a field goal and make the. As Kelsey pointed out, she's like, there were like 12 minutes left in the game. There was no way that was going to be the final score. And I was like, yeah, but I was holding out hope at least. Come on. But you had Kansas City as the winner. And so I owe you some libations.
Well, this is exactly why I don't gamble like in casinos. Because for those of you who might not know, Luke and I had a bet on the old $1 million giveaway that which show would have more people list their show as where they heard it from. And of course, Dueling Tangents beat out our little pathetic show
just
in the morning.
Our
little coffee clutch that we have in the morning. and so Dueling Tangents. So I owed Luke and Brian a six pack of beer. And so then on Friday, as I said, I only had one, as Luke pointed out, it was a larger beer. but we only had one and a half, I guess. But yeah, I remember shaking hands and I remember betting something, but then for the life of me this morning, I'm like, what the heck did I bet? And so I had to text Luke, and we're like, oh yeah, it was the game. It was the game.
We're doing a little work before your show, and then we clarified that, yes, it was the wager was on the game.
But now I feel like, okay, you owe me one beer, so now I'm only down five to you. This is how people get sucked into gambling, you understand? Oh, just one more roll of the dice. I can get back, I can get four. And then sooner or later, I'm owing you a half barrel.
Hey, I'm okay with that. I'll let the tab continue until we get to a half barrel. That's fine by me.
Yes, I had the Chiefs.
So yes, you had the Chiefs. It was a very good game. Unfortunately, in my opinion, refereeing got a little too involved there at the end and robbed us of a very, like, a few years ago. I think it was last year in the divisional round when
Kansas City and Buffalo were playing against each other, and there was that tremendous sequence at the end of the game, and everybody thought the Bills were going to go on to the AFC Championship, and lo and behold, the Chiefs, with like seconds left on the clock, came back and got the rights to host the AFC Championship last year. And I was hoping for something like that, because Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes were doing a lot of what indicated it was going to lead up to a big firework finale finish. And then all of a sudden it was first down, first and goal from the one, and then the Chiefs kind of just ran out the clock, kicked the field goal, and so sorry, Eagles. You've got 11 seconds to try to score. Good luck.
But as you point out, the big controversy was it was third and second and whatever, and then the play where what I can't remember the guy's name, the Eagles held the Kansas City
allegedly player.
Well, no, because this is where I give that player, I have to find his name, the guy at the president at the post game.
Yeah,
he said, no, I held him, and I was hoping that they wouldn't see, or I was hoping that they would let it fly. But at least the guy, you know,
he
acknowledged it, that he was holding, and they only really showed it. They did a bad job, in my opinion, of Fox, because they kept showing the play after it already started. And they were trying to show the left hand is what held, and it wasn't. It was the right hand where you could see on the earlier clip
the jersey grab. Mike Pereira, I want to say, the rules analyst for Fox, was talking about that.
Right.
And it took a couple replays for it to actually show up on the screen.
So, I agree. It was not an ideal way. I wish it wouldn't have ended that way. Mm-hmm. But you got to say it was the right call, for better or worse.
Yeah, and shame how it worked out.
It is.
Yeah.
And I was just, I mean, they could have scored, the Chiefs could have scored a touchdown, and they stopped 1 yard short, so they kept running the clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, oh my God, because the kicker missed, he doinked one off at 22 yards earlier.
Oh, they wanted the drama. They wanted,
I know, he missed one earlier to
bring up the suspense at the end of the game.
I'm just like, oh, this poor guy, if he misses it again, this is all for naught, you know. And then
we would have got overtime.
And then the Eagles would have won, and I would have owed Luke even more beer. That's the problem, you understand? It's about me.
There you go. Fair enough. So Kansas City pulling it out so that I owe you beer, not the other way around.
Well, Todd, I still owe you more than you owe me, but anyway.
But folks, if you want to share a tangent with us, your thoughts on the Super Bowl, 844-967-2789. You can call in, share your tangent with us here on Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on this Monday afternoon by Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show. And Todd, one of the other big storylines from the weekend that you got the chance to discuss here quite extensively on your program earlier today, was the amount of flying saucers or unidentified flying objects, UFOs, however we want to call them right now, just the frequency that they're coming up now, because here in Wisconsin, the F-16 fighter jets at Truax Field were scrambled over the weekend in an exercise that shot down a octagonal-shaped UFO over Lake Huron yesterday. And what are your thoughts kind of on what's going on here? Because this is another big storyline that we are tracking now, because first it was the balloon that flew across, got shot down near Myrtle Beach. Then it was earlier in the weekend in Alaska, near U.S. airspace near Alaska, and as well as Canada, shooting down these allegedly unmanned flying objects that we all of a sudden are finding a lot more of, because I think we're looking for a lot more of them now.
And that was the point. We had a couple of clips this morning, one from David Martin, who is the Pentagon reporter and a military reporter for CBS News. And he was on Face the Nation with Margaret Brennan this weekend. And he pointed out from his sources, number one, that they're not necessarily balloons, these other objects. Number one, they're calling them balloon-like. So they may be partially inflated, but not necessarily a true balloon shape or smaller than the original one. And number two, he pointed out that don't assume that these subsequent aircraft or unidentified objects are launched from the Chinese. So this might be either other foreign governments, or didn't rule out private industry as well, or corporations may have launched these. So that's number one.
I mean, I lost a balloon a few years ago. Do you think it's still flying around up there?
one of those
graduation party. No,
yes,
I'm just kidding.
Mylar balloon. Well, Luke, you're right on to something, because here's the other thing. We had Rebecca Jones read this post from her. I know you read it as well. She's an authority on satellites, has a lot of experience.
She's a data scientist down in Florida.
Exactly.
And she gave an excellent analogy about, well, if you're searching a beach for something that's the size of a tennis ball. You rule out everything else that's not the size of a tennis ball. And so when anybody that's trying to keep track of our skies, they're going to use different filters to filter out the things like a Mylar balloon that the FAA doesn't need to be tracking, because yeah, that's not going to affect a plane. And so the fact that there's just now a increase of us finding these size devices, and these last couple ones smaller from my understanding than the original one that was picked up at 100,000 feet, the Chinese balloon. But now if satellites and radars and everything that can identify these objects are searching and changing the parameters for that search, it's going to lead to an increase of finding these objects, because it seems like a lot of people are using them, or a lot of states, a lot of industry. Like, it seems like these are things that you and I might not be thinking about on a regular basis, but they're flying around up there.
There are probably a lot more things there in the air than even perhaps the government knew. But you're right. They've been focused on things like larger drones, on missiles, on larger aircraft. And so these are Todd terms. They basically didn't have the radar turned up high enough.
Right.
And so they weren't looking for these smaller items.
And it was a speed thing, too, from my understanding.
Correct.
You want to pick up things that are moving quickly. But if there's just something that's floating about at a relatively slow speed, it's less likely to trigger the radars, the satellites, and all of the tracking information that would pick up on a quote-unquote threat.
Exactly.
So, folks, you were listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm joined very graciously here in the Solidarity Realty Studios by Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show. We got a couple other Wisconsin headlines that we're going to get to with little dumpster diving on this Monday afternoon. We're going to take a look at a story you may have missed going into Super Bowl weekend on Friday afternoon. We're also going to cover some of the previewing of the state budget address going to be given by Governor Tony Evers later this week on Wednesday evening, and an announcement that he made that may be included in his budget proposal.
Ooh, very nice.
Including automatic voter registration. So love to get your thoughts on that, Todd. And folks, if you want to share a tangent, share your thoughts with us after this Super Bowl weekend or on unidentified flying objects, UFOs, give us a call, 844-967-2789. You're listening across Civic Media. We're going to be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. Just want to give a shout out as well to my sister and brother-in-law. And congratulations to them on their third child.
Aww.
Coming in the world today.
Uncle Luke!
Yeah, happy birthday, Charles.
Aww.
It's going to be, I'm very excited to meet him. And I was hoping, I got a birthday coming up.
When is your birthday?
Next week.
Next week? Next what week? Day?
Next week, Wednesday.
Wednesday?
Yeah, I'm more of the quiet birthday type, right, Todd. You don't need to do anything.
Wednesday. All right. Got it.
Now I'm going to regret this information.
There will be pole dancers and bands.
I was hoping that I was going to get to share a birthday with my new nephew. Yeah. And my sister was like, fat chance. This baby is coming out as soon as this baby can come out. So congratulations to both my sister and brother-in-law. And happy birthday, Charles.
That's Charlie. Awesome. Congratulations, yeah. Uncle Luke.
Thank you. It is my siblings, my older siblings, now have my sister three kids and my older brother one kid. So I have a plethora of young one niece and now three nephews that I get to play with. And I'm very excited to meet Charlie. Hopefully as soon as this weekend. I got to find out when visiting hours will be.
Yeah.
So, got to coordinate with her, but I wanted to share that news. Congratulations, Megan. And one of the things that you may have missed over this weekend, if you were preparing for the Super Bowl or keeping an eye on all these flying balloons around the United States, is an update with one of the one of the topics that Brian and I, and I think a lot of folks here at Civic Media, like to keep an eye on as well. But you may have missed it because it got released pretty late into Friday afternoon going into the Super Bowl weekend. And there's more troubles ahead for Foxconn, Todd.
The Foxconn keeps on giving. It's the gift that keeps on giving. If you're on the Democratic
side. If you
side.
Want content, yeah, right. Sure. It's one of those gifts that I wish would have just been, you know, nipped in the bud and then removed from what we had to be concerned about. But no, this is a weed that keeps its roots going pretty far in southeastern Wisconsin. And so we're going to discuss it because this is a headline written up by Corinne Hess over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Federal class action lawsuit alleges Foxconn not fully paying Wisconsin employees. Now, this is the company, Todd, that I believe the former governor said was going to win us the 21st century. And it finds out that now they are allegedly being sued for altering timesheets of their employees here in Wisconsin. I feel like that's not the innovation that former Governor Scott Walker was really hoping for when he promised about $4 billion to this Taiwanese company to come and build some LED screens
right.
In southeastern Wisconsin.
This is one of two great cons by the former Governor Scott Walker. This all occurred in my last stint at the state capitol while I was working for former State Senator Dale Schultz. The first one, of course, was the big mining bills, which he wanted to gut all the, not all, but the majority of mining or environmental laws, rather in northern Wisconsin, to sell land to the Chinese to start a mine. It was going to create thousands of jobs. Let's take a look. Nope, scoreboard says zero so far up there in northern Wisconsin. Then the next one was Foxconn, and you're absolutely right. This is going to be, let's give billions of dollars in tax credits to this Taiwanese company to come on over, and we're going to use eminent domain, we're going to take people's farms, we're going to take people's houses, and we're going to bulldoze it all down and create this city, this beautiful tech city. It's going to be the Silicon Valley
of the Great Lakes.
Right, of the Great Lakes. Yeah. Going to create thousands and thousands of jobs. I'm a job creator, said Scott Walker. Job creator. Let's check in several years later. Reportedly, maybe 1,000 jobs.
I'm going to say 1,000 or
although
less.
Although they won't allow anyone to come in and audit that, even though they're getting billions of dollars in state tax credits.
I think it's not billions anymore. They were going to be on the hooks for billions.
$34.7 million, I think, is what the last reported. But still, they're eligible for more.
Yes. Oh, if they were actually able to prove that they were delivering on these jobs, they would be eligible for more. But that deal renegotiated by Governor Tony Evers during his first term, making it a little bit more friendly to the state of Wisconsin.
Imagine
taking Wisconsin taxpayers off the hook for what the former governor, Scott Walker, had promised Foxconn in that deal. And reading from the piece by Corinne Hess over at the Journal Sentinel, according to the lawsuit, Foxconn does not fully compensate hourly employees. Instead, the time clock rounds to the closest hour to the detriment of the employee. Employees were not paid bonuses, overtime, and other incentive awards. On multiple occasions, employees complained to supervisors about unlawful practices of changing or altering time clocks. And on January 19th, Allen, the individual who spoke with the Journal Sentinel about this lawsuit, complained to his supervisor about altering his, quote, clock in and or clock out times during the workday. His supervisor allegedly did not respond, and Allen was instead terminated on January 30th, 11 days later, because of his complaints. So that's all what's alleged in the class action lawsuit being brought against Foxconn, and the plaintiffs are seeking a jury trial, according to the reporting written up by Corinne Hess. So pretty troubling all around for this debacle that southeastern Wisconsin and Mount Pleasant has been tied to because of the deal put forth by Scott Walker and then signed and passed by the Republican legislature, all while saying, you know, that they blame Evers and others for the problems that we are facing of a workforce shortage, when this is the glowing, shining example of what Republicans would do if they were in power, Todd.
A big nothing burger, once again, from Scott Walker. In fact, detrimental to workers.
Yeah.
I mean, stealing people's money, not even paying the wages. It's the ultimate grift by Wisconsin's grifter, Scott Walker.
Yeah. And he tried to make himself... That man tries to just... He gets paid to tweet now, I believe. That's his job over at Young Americans Foundation. Like $720,000 salary or something like that.
That's a good gig if you can get it.
Yeah, really great gig if you can get it. But again, he's getting paid all that to try to stay relevant on Twitter. But this is the relevance that we get from the former Walker administration, Foxconn, allegedly not paying its employees and far short from the promises made in that initial agreement with the state of Wisconsin and former Governor Scott Walker. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789. We're going to get to a couple more headlines and your calls when we return.
Then if you're so smart, tell me why are you still
afraid? Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. If you want to follow the show online, you can do so on Twitter at Dueling Tangents. You can also follow Civic Media there at Civic Media US. Broadcasting on Facebook Live as well on Mad Radio 92.7's Facebook page. That's right, we rebranded here in Madison. If you have not yet seen the new logos, go over to our social media. You can find all the new Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX 1580 AMs spanking new logos, and they look terrific.
They do. They're absolutely fantastic.
Excellent job by the graphic design team over at Design Garden. We love their work, and we really appreciate them working with us here in Madison and for all the stations in the Civic Media team. It's a great new logo. And you were kind of joking as we prepared for kicking around some of the topics we wanted to have tangents about here in the 2 o'clock hour on Dueling Tangents. You mentioned your bingo card, which is always a fan favorite of us here. Brian and I, we're always making jokes about, oh, did not have that one on the bingo card. And you pointed one out that you were not expecting on your 2023 bingo card. What was that, Todd?
I was not expecting my bingo card to look today online and see the President of the United States spokesperson go to the podium in front of the presidential seal and say to the American people, we can confirm that space aliens and extraterrestrial were not a part of this weekend's activity of shooting down objects.
And she doubled down on it.
In all seriousness, because they're getting so many, and this is what we talked about this morning, that social media, everything is propelling all this, mm-hmm. all these rumors, innuendo, whatever. And so the President of the United States and spokesperson had to come out and say, no, there are no space aliens or space, alien aircraft involved. So David Frum this afternoon says, I don't know, totally kicking space alien butt over the Great Lakes. Seems like a strong message with which to hold Michigan and Wisconsin in 2024.
See, that's insinuating that there were space aliens, right, though, in the aircraft, right, though. So that's why she's got to go out and put down those ideas. I did have it on my bingo card, though, I'm only a few spaces away from getting a bingo.
You're so good, Luke. Just kidding. You're so good.
We wanted to. That was a joke last year.
By the way, your music is you should do a music show for one day. The music choices are fantastic.
You got to thank my dad. He has gifted me with a good ear for listening to classic rock. And that's all on him. Playing the who's this artist and telling me all the backstories of the music of his time and then sharing it. And now it's really our music. It's not tied to one specific time.
Bring out space aliens.
But yeah, space aliens.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yeah, it's a very interesting Monday here. I was not expecting talking about it, but when the balloon story, when it first hit the news, I thought it was just one of those attention grabbers, right, where it's like, oh, okay, like I feel like this is not something to really focus on. But it seems like more and more we're gonna have to talk about it now, because
it's a national security issue. Mm-hmm. And how cool that the 115th Fighter Wing here in Madison, Wisconsin, mm-hmm. was the one scrambled and shot down this latest one over Lake Huron yesterday.
Well, imagine getting up there and then it actually just being a Mylar balloon. I would be pretty upset. But it's a good thing. The government went through the procedures to make sure that it was not just a Mylar balloon.
How do we know that it's not a Mylar balloon? How do we know that
well,
it's
well,
not?
Well, wait. We got to wait until they announce the findings.
It was octagonal in shape, or so they say.
Yes. Just a stop sign. Mylar balloon. That's an octagon, right? Come on.
Yeah.
Folks, if you want to share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789. You can be like Mike in Sheboygan. Mike, how you doing on this Monday afternoon?
Hey, guys. My bingo card did not have fighter jets scrambled from Truex Field in deep blue Dane County shooting down anything over Lake Michigan or Huron. So that kind of got her attention, eh? But are we still tangenting on the Super Bowl if we may?
By all means, Mike.
Okay, I'd like to complain about that axis of evil that they kept showing, Murdoch and Elon Musk. That was enough to turn on my stomach. But you were asking where the Kansas City fans are in the state. I believe they're up there in Grantsburg, Wisconsin, which is northwest of Pat Cratlow and Chippewa Falls, about halfway between Minneapolis and Superior, the hometown of Leo Chenal, who is our star stud linebacker from the Bucky Badgers.
Oh, yeah, and I would assume down in Kenosha as well with Melvin Gordon's family being very proud of Melvin Gordon getting his first Super Bowl ring along with Leo. Mm-hmm.
And you know what's the rub on that is? Both those guys have the same amount of Super Bowl rings as Aaron Rodgers and probably are going to get more.
There's a good chance they're still, but well, Melvin's kind of getting a little later in his career, but Leo Chenal still pretty early in his NFL career. I was pulling for TJ Edwards, the other Badger in the Super Bowl on the Eagles. He had some great plays. He was making it hard for Patrick Mahomes yesterday when, in the middle of the field. So it's great to be able to cheer on the Badgers.
Let's not forget that Andy Reid was the quarterback's coach in Green Bay and offensive coordinator before we let him go to Philadelphia. And they must be really pounding sand today after firing him so he can go to KC and do that. So there are Wisconsin ties, and I grant the Kansas City fans today their due.
Yes.
What are they doing in Grantsburg today? Are they having a big celebration? Fireworks?
I have a feeling Leo's not quite home yet. Assume there are, the team's probably going to have some festivities Kansas City before. But then during the offseason, I have a feeling there will probably be some ties. We appreciate your phone call, Mike. You can be like Mike, 844-967-2789. Share a tangent with us here on Dueling Tangents. You can call or text that number. I am Luke Mathers, joined by Todd Alba on this Monday afternoon. And yeah, I don't know if they're going to throw the parades right away for these Wisconsinites and former Badgers that won their first Super Bowl yesterday.
I think the NHL does this. That's the league that does it the right way. Because each one of the players on the winning NHL championship team, they get to take Lord Stanley's Cup for
a couple
of days.
Yeah, you get to take it for a tour, right?
Yeah, so every player gets to take it around for a couple of days.
Well, I got to see the Larry O'Brien trophy, and I think the Bucks were doing that as well. I don't know if every player got to take it. I know Giannis took it with him when they went back to Athens.
He took it through Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, he did take it. Well, he took that and the finals MVP trophy. He had both of them with him on his lap when he went through the drive-thru there. But they did a whole tour in Greece when the Bucks won, and then the Larry O'Brien was circulating here in Wisconsin. There were different events. Alex Lazary brought it with him. It was kind of the little I believe where was I where Alex Lazary was there, and I got a photo of myself on my phone with the Larry O'Brien trophy.
But see, now what's happened, because I thought for a couple of years here at the Super Bowl they made a big deal about the Lombardi trophy, like different Hall of Famers would they pass it with gloves and they walk through all the players. Mm-hmm. It was like pomp and circumstance of music, and then yesterday we come back from the Cheetos commercial and here's the commissioner, like, here you go, here's your trophy. There's no big formality.
I believe it was used as a beer luge for the kicker or the punter. I forget who did it in the Kansas City locker room.
Really?
But somebody opened a beer that poured it down to Larry O'Brien and was drinking it, or not the Larry O'Brien, excuse me, the Lombardi trophy, and was drinking the beer from running down the side of the Lombardi. So I don't know if that was a decoy, a second version one that was kind of like for show.
So.
I would assume it was the only trophy in the locker room last night, but it looked like things were getting a little wild in Kansas City's locker room. But I mean, congratulations to them.
Why not?
Just terrific career.
And
so it was a good game. I'll save my reservations for what happened at the end. I guess if it was a hold, it was a hold. It just lacked all of the fun excitement that I think could have been in the final 2 minutes of that very close game. But one of the things, looking at the headlines from today, Todd, is Governor Tony Evers announcing a plan to introduce automatic voter registration here in Wisconsin. And this is something that other states have implemented throughout the nation, where when you sign up for your driver's license, when you go to the DMV and you get your driver's license, you're automatically registered to vote. A lot of people that have worked to implement this. I worked for a little while with nonprofits, including the Public Interest Research Groups, PIRGs, here in the United States. And this was a big priority for those nonprofits, those organizations working to increase public policy, because it's, in my opinion, and what the organizations would do, a no-brainer. Because if you're registering to drive a car, you should be able to use the same information to register to vote and just automatically get that registration done for you. Todd, I know you were working in the legislature, and a lot of times when some voting things were coming up, what are your thoughts on automatic voter registration, and do you think this has any chance making it this year with a Evers proposal?
I think it's a great proposal. I commend Governor Tony Evers for putting this out there. This is one of those questions like, do you think you should use toilet paper after you're done? You know, I mean, everybody should be in favor of that. You understand? I mean, it should be a no-brainer. You should get to have to be able to say, yes, of course. And we believe everybody should use toilet paper. Everybody should be able to have sign up for vote when you get your driver's license.
You waited until I took a sip of coffee for that one. I almost snorted coffee right across the studio here.
It should be a no-brainer.
It should be a no-brainer.
Right? Because it's your point. They don't give out driver's license like candy anymore. Not that they ever did. But now it's a whole rigmarole. Birth certificate, if you're not from here, all this sort of thing.
Because of a driver's license with the new laws that are put forth and the compact between the states can qualify for TSA pre-check.
Right.
Like, there's different qualifications, and you need a valid real ID, I believe is what it's referred to, right, to be able to even fly now. So, like, you have to go through some pretty high hurdles to be able to renew your driver's license nowadays.
But
and I don't understand why it wouldn't just be, this is a no-brainer. This is something that you can, if you are for a limited government, you should be all for this, because it's literally saving steps for the registration process. It's just like, okay, you don't have to do the standard voter registration forms if you already have a driver's license, because the government already has all of that information on file. Like,
but let's take a look inside the scary Republican mindset. And I had a front row seat for this. So, yes, back when I was working in the legislature, my last stint in the early 2010s and 2011 and 12, they changed the law. Mm-hmm. So it used to be if you had a valid ID, let's say from or a driver's license from California, you brought it as long as it was still valid. You just exchanged it out, got a Wisconsin one. Oh, no, you can't do that now. Now you have to have either your original birth certificate, a passport, a valid passport, or a military ID in order to get get a new driver's license.
Yeah.
So they did that to make it harder for people to vote. Number two, if people who aren't familiar, here in the city of Madison, our main Department of Motor Vehicles was right up the street from us where we're at right now, mm-hmm, a place called Hill Farms, very accessible, on a bus line, easy to get to. Republicans closed that down. Walker closed that down. Scott Walker did. And they moved it now to the far west side, way out in the middle of nowhere, outside of Middleton, which is a suburb of Madison, where it makes it very difficult, yep, to get to if you're not on
less
a bus
accessible
line. And who usually has harder or more difficult problems, Luke, trying to get to places like that? Oh, I don't know. Minorities, poor people, and students. Who typically votes more Democratic? Those are so the Republican thinking goes.
Yeah.
So this was done intentionally to lower people or get fewer people to vote that don't typically vote Republican.
Well, that's one of the things that Brian and I have discussed as well here on Dueling Tangents, is the fact that, well, rather than try to attract voters with better, newer ideas,
exactly,
Republicans are just simply, well, no, we don't want people to vote. We're just going to make it harder to vote. We're going to put these hurdles in place and put it under the guise of election integrity and things, the right, scary terms like that, that make it sound like there's improprieties there or wrongdoing, when really they're just trying to increase the thresholds so that people who have the hardest time meeting the requirements that they're setting out aren't able to vote then. Because if you can't go get the ID when you need a voter ID to vote, and there's fewer places to get it, it's just going to prevent people from voting and participating in the process. So absolutely, if you're getting a driver's license, you should just automatically be registered to vote. I think it should be very much like when you're filing taxes.
Yes.
You should just register to vote right then and there too. The government has all the information. Why not make it easier? We are living in the 21st century. And rather than making a government that works for people here in the 21st century, Republicans are doing backroom napkin deals like Foxconn, where they say it's going to win the 21st century, but really it's just a ploy to try to win an election so they can hold on to power. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. Very honored to be joined by Todd Alba in the Solidarity Realty Studios here on Madison's Near West Side. We got one more segment left in the day. Got another piece over at the Journal Sentinel I think we're going to get into, talking about why there isn't a stronger bench for Republicans in 2024 here in Wisconsin, a state they claim to have a pretty good hold on. Folks, this is Dueling Tangents. We'll be right back.
It's just like us, and there's a cold and lonely light that shines from you. You wind up like the wreck you
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined in studio by Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show that you can listen to here on Civic Media from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. weekdays in Richland Center. Yep. News from the center, WRCE, mm-hmm. on Lake Air, yep. newly rebranded as WLAK.
Black.
Lake without the E. Come on. There's a terrific Taking Back Sunday song. Cute without the E. It's just WALK. Lake without the E. Nice. Yeah, so, and Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. See, I almost forgot about a Wausau Wausau listening audience.
Can't think about Wausau.
They're currently tuned into Chad Holmes, so.
Right.
It's not, that's not completely on me. No, I'm just kidding. I don't speak to that audience all that
That's
often.
That's fantastic.
But we're going to be doing some special election night coverage because we have a primary coming up next week, Tuesday, February 21st. If you have not yet made a plan to vote, early in-person absentee voting or early voting is already underway. You got to contact your local clerk, though, because hours and methods to vote early do vary municipality by municipality. But you can make a plan to vote either in-person, absentee, between now and I believe most municipalities cut that off on Friday. There are some, I believe, here in Madison that still do it the weekend before. But it's also weird because President's Day is next Monday, is it not?
I know. Until those offices will
be
closed on Monday for sure.
You want to make a plan to vote now, folks. That's the point. Is the primary is coming up. It is going to be high stakes. There is a primary for who will be the two top candidates moving on to the general in the spring for the April 4th general election for the state Supreme Court race. 10-year term. It has consequences. You got to be paying attention to this race. Make a plan to vote. MyVote.wi.gov can give you all the information you need to find out who's on your ballot and where you can vote early between now and this upcoming weekend, and how you can make a plan if you don't vote early to be a voter on Tuesday, February 21st. But kind of looking beyond this Tuesday's primary, the week from tomorrow's primary, 2024 is already lingering in a lot of people's minds, Todd. Isn't it? It's these election cycles come up on us quick, doesn't it? Because
too fast.
Most people outside of Wisconsin are already looking at 2024 because in a lot of states it is the next race. It is the next big. There's going to be a presidential the election on that race. There's going to be a lot of Senate seats up for grabs, and the House, the entire House of Representatives, will be up for grabs as well. Here in Wisconsin, we're kind of an outlier having this spring election. Not every state has a spring off year election like we do. So it's very important to be participating next Tuesday, February 21st, for that spring primary. But the Journal Sentinel is also putting out some pieces about 2024 and who may run against incumbent Senator Tammy Baldwin. And it seems like there's a delay for candidates to jump in that pool, Todd. Why do you think that is?
Because Tammy Baldwin is taking names and kicking butt. I mean, she's doing a great job, right? I mean, I've said this before. Here's one of the things that a lot of people in the state don't realize. you hear about Tammy Baldwin and the things that she does that would be considered more progressive that also help the state. They're wonderful. Things like healthcare, things like women's rights. The list goes on and on.
Mm-hmm.
But what people don't understand is what a good politician Tammy Baldwin is. By that, and it's not doing anything underhanded. It's doing smart things.
Yeah.
So, for instance, the Wisconsin Dells area. All right. It is a very pro-business area.
Yep.
Has a lot of money from a lot of big business owners there. Tammy Baldwin has quietly over the years, and not so quietly, reached out and said, hey, I might be a Democrat, and you folks might tend to be. It was a big money-raising area for Tommy Thompson and Republicans for years, the Dells. All right. But Tammy Baldwin reached out and said, I want to sit down and figure out how I can help you. And so one of the things that she has done is gotten all kinds of earmarked money in for transportation in the state, because the Dells guys and gals know that if we don't have good roads bringing people from Chicago and Minneapolis, the Dells is going to suffer.
Yeah.
So Tammy Baldwin has reached out and created friendships and coalitions beyond just the typical progressive Democratic Party, and made her very powerful and very popular.
She got more bills passed when Republicans were in control of Congress than the senior senator for the state, Ron Johnson, got passed.
100%.
She is a tremendously effective legislator, and she has the widest margin in recent elections. For her first reelection bid back in 2018, she beat then-State Senator Leah Vuckmeyer by 11 points, Todd. Like, this is not going to be a race. And that was in 2018, an off-year election, as in not a presidential election. 2024, it's going to be a presidential election. I think she is going to be a very, very formidable opponent. And it seems like Republicans are kind of getting that read of the race, too.
I've spent time in closed meetings with both Senator Baldwin and former State Senator Vuckmeyer. I can tell you really easy why she beat her butt. Because sitting and talking to Tammy Baldwin is genuineness, and it's like you're dealing with a female version of Mr. Rogers. And when you go and talk to Leah Vuckmeyer, it's like being in a trash can with Oscar the Grouch. I mean, that's the reason right there that it wasn't even a race, you understand? I can tell the story now, but the late, great Senator Mike Ellis of Nina, a former leader of the Republicans, used to, behind closed doors, used to refer to Leah Vuckmeyer as Nurse Ratchet, because she had no bedside manner, you understand?
Yeah.
She didn't want to protect people on healthcare issues, and she was a nurse.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. She is just somebody.
Tangents are welcome here, Todd. It's okay.
It gets me going because Leah Vuckmeyer was just one of the most disingenuous people I ever met.
Yeah, and so she was handily defeated by Senator Baldwin in 2018, and it seems like the biggest name, I think, that can pop up here, honestly, is Congressman Mike Gallagher.
Probably.
I think that's the only one. There's a couple other names thrown around in this piece written up by Bill Glauber and Lawrence Andrea over at the Journal Sentinel, but it's fascinating. The one thing I do want to share from the piece is a quote by Brian Schimming, current chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin.
The Schimshay man.
He expressed confidence that the GOP field will take shape and produce a potent rival to take on Baldwin in the fall of 2024. He said potential candidates, quote, will probably need to assume a more public profile into the mid-year months of this year. Yeah, I'd say they've got an uphill battle regardless of how big their public profile is. But do you think this is a chance for another kind of Tim Michaels where relatively unknown?
My guess is it will be another multi-billionaire business person that nobody really, you know, Diane Hendricks or whoever, something like that, that just wants to buy a Senate seat. And you know, I think that person's going to have a hard time connecting with people because Tammy Baldwin has done a great job at connecting with people.
You want to know what the image comes to mind in my head when you say that? Just the Joker lighting the big pile of money on fire behind him, saying that some men just want to watch the world burn. I hope there's some conservative billionaire, millionaire out there that just wants to light a big pile of money on fire, because Tammy Baldwin has shown over her first... 12 years. During her time in the U.S. Senate, she's been a tremendous senator, and she's going to be a very hard candidate to beat, in my opinion, in 2024.
Agreed.
Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast, civicmedia.us. You can also check out the podcast for the Todd Alba Show. Airs weekdays, 8 to 11 a.m. across RCE, XCO, and LAK, part of the Civic Media family.
Done.
Thank you, Todd. Really appreciate you joining me.
Great to be here.